Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for our meditation this morning is from the gospel lesson we heard a moment ago about this Canaanite woman recorded in the Gospel of St. Matthew. Let me tell you a little story. A young man goes to a vocational counselor. He's going there because he's dealing with some failures, some inadequacy. He's got these feelings and he wants to make his life better. So he goes to see a vocational counselor. He told the counselor that he'd always wanted to go to college, but he felt that there were often too many obstacles in his way. After sharing all of his hopes, all of his dreams, and all of his hurts with this guy, he waited for some positive words of wisdom, maybe some good encouragement coming his way. But none ever came. Instead of hearing positive plans of action, he heard words of discouragement. First, the counselor said that, listen, college is just too expensive. And besides, you didn't have very good grades anyways. It'd be like a waste of time. Why don't you think about doing something different? Said maybe you'd be better off finding something else to do. Quite a shocking story, isn't it? What if I told you that Jesus did the very same thing in our gospel lesson today? Maybe in a little bit different context, but would you be surprised? In our text today, we have a record of Jesus acting in a manner that usually doesn't describe him. When a person is hurting, like a young man going to see this vocational counselor that I described, we seek to bring them comfort, don't we? We remind them of Jesus' love for them. We may say things like, Jesus has promised that he would never leave you nor forsake you. We say that. And we remind those who are hurting to cast off all your pain, all your anxieties. Cast off all your burdens on Jesus. He will take them. We don't usually say to people that are hurting that Jesus just might not want to answer you right now. It's not something we would say. We don't say that because Jesus says, be it done for you as you believe, as you desire. So, wow. Imagine how the Christian ministry would be if the pastor totally ignored you, and I hope you don't feel that way at all. But what if he did? What if the pastor just totally ignored you? What if you came into the pastor's office and you laid out your sorrows, your aches, your pains from your soul, and you got nothing? Get over it. You'd feel rejected, wouldn't you? You'd feel like, well, this was a waste of my time. Why bother? Well, this is what the world would have expected the Canaanite woman in our text to do. Just walk away. She had come to him with a request, a very needy one at that. Her request, it wasn't a selfish request, it was for her daughter. The pain, the anguish, the hope that this woman must have had going to see Jesus and pleading for her daughter. Not any different than what any other mother would have for their child, is it? You'd do anything for your children to be okay. The ancient Greek text of this account of this woman's plea before Jesus was that she begs for an act of mercy because of her suffering. Kind of makes it a little bit selfish. But she had tried perhaps all the cures that were available in that day, didn't you think? Wouldn't you think? And she just had no luck. Nothing was working. She obviously had heard about our Lord's mighty healing powers, that with just one word, he cast the demons out of many a person. So why not my daughter, she probably thought. Jesus allowed the Canaanite woman to be attacked with discouragement at least four times in this little short text we read today. The first attack we've already touched upon. Jesus was silent. He didn't say anything. Scripture says he didn't answer her a word. So what do you suppose would have been running through this mother's thoughts after being rebuked by mere silence? Could she have begun entertaining the possibility that maybe Jesus just didn't want to help her? That's possible. The silence of Jesus here in these pages of Matthew have been magnified a thousandfold in the minds of hurting Christians everywhere. When answers don't come when we expect them, it's easy enough just to lose hope and give up. Who cares? He's not going to answer me. Yet this Canaanite woman in our text, she didn't give up. She kept going. How do you suppose she stood her ground at the very first sign of discouragement? Was it just because she happened to be a very strong-willed woman? We know many very strong-willed women. I can look across out here and see many very strong-willed women. Jesus said it was her faith that kept her in the hunt for Jesus' blessing. So you suppose her faith had something to do with her will to seek her daughter's healing. What is this faith that we so often speak of? Just so I got it right, I looked it up in the dictionary. I have a couple in my office. I use them often, so I make sure I know what I'm doing. And I looked up the word faith, and it says, faith is complete trust and confidence in someone or something. And then I looked it up in the Book of Concord, our Lutheran confession. I have a few copies of that, and I looked it up. What does it say faith is? There's quite a few references to what faith is. In one particular instance, it says in the Apology, on the basis of the Scriptures and arguments derived from the Scriptures, was to make clear that by faith alone we receive the forgiveness of sins for Christ's sake, and by faith alone are justified. That is, out of unrighteous, we are made righteous and regenerated men. One can then easily see how necessary it is to understand faith. It's important that through faith and faith alone we recognize Christ's work and receive his blessings, and it alone provides a sure and firm consolation for our devout minds. So it is this faith we have in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, given through the Holy Spirit, which enables our lives the richest and the dearest of blessings. Keep that in mind as we move on to the other discouragements that came the way of this Canaanite woman in our text. The second one came not from Jesus, but it came from the disciples. All those guys. They said, send her away. but she is crying out after us. In more modern words, we would translate this as, listen, Lord, she's a pain. Can you get rid of her for us? She's really been bugging us. And then Jesus doesn't even rebuke the disciples in this case. I can't tell you how many times I have felt like that, where Satan will try to make me feel as though I've been bothering Jesus, especially when I pray over and over and over again for something or someone. And it's true, by evidence alone of this one passage, that sometimes Jesus allows Satan to keep on speaking in our ear. Like Jerry said, you got that little devil on one side and that angel on the other. Sometimes he lets them keep it up so that some discouragement comes through. We have to experience some discouragement like that the disciples gave to this woman. All for some divine reason. Now the third discouragement came when Jesus said, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In other words, Jesus is saying, woman, you're not it. You're not my concern. And then to top it all off, the fourth and final discouragement came. What did Jesus, did you see what he did in the text? He calls this woman a dog. Now, do you see any encouragement from Jesus in just the first couple verses of our text today? Do you see any encouragement? You don't. Are you able to recognize that he is actually trying to strengthen this woman's faith? That question being prevalent among many a Christian is why we believe God placed this text into the Holy Bible. Into his word, he wanted us to see this. He wanted us to recognize that discouragement can actually be a way for Jesus to strengthen each and every one of us in a way for us to receive his blessings. In fact, as Scripture says, what son is there whom his father does not discipline? We're reminded that God's discipline over us shows us all the more his love for us, his great love for us. And the same is true when God allows discouragement to come our way. Although Satan will try to suggest that we and God are on the outs, that's what Satan would like for you to know. That's why we've been having so many problems. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ will tell you just the opposite. Look again at how the Canaanite woman reacted to all these discouraging words. When Jesus ignored her and called her a dog, she could have said something like, now wait a minute, isn't Jesus supposed to be a man of love and mercy, and yet here he is treating me, this humble woman who has a genuine need, with disrespect, the one who needs him. Well, who needs him? But instead of acting like that, she remained humble. She remained persistent in her prayer by asking, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed on the crumbs which fall from the master's table. In other words, she was willing and ready to receive whatever crumbs Jesus passed her way. She knew that the slightest little word, the one word from Jesus, would heal her daughter. She knew that it wasn't going to take much from God help. She was able to break through all those discouraging words that came away because of one simple truth. She trusted in all the things that she had heard about Jesus. She knew him to be the Messiah because she called him the Son of David. She knew that he had the power to heal her daughter. She rested all her hopes on all that she had heard about Jesus. That's why Jesus eventually said, "We're a woman. Your faith is great. It shall be done for you as you wish." You know, God has given us a very special gift when he has given us his Holy Spirit. Because with this gift, we're able to believe in things that we haven't yet seen. We believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We believe that he was born of a virgin and that he suffered under Pontius Pilate and that on that third day he rose again. We believe that with that resurrection came victory and complete assurance that Jesus will always have the best intentions for our spiritual care. With what all we have heard about Jesus, it all comes down to faith. Faith is not something that is hoped for or something that we can earn through trial and error. Our faith is a free gift given us by way of his holy word and by his holy sacraments. It is God's way of guiding us on our Christian walk and giving us hope in times of trouble. Faith will give us encouragement when the Holy Spirit moves us to rest all of our hope and all of our needs and all of our prayers upon the promises given to us by way of Jesus Christ. And this isn't a difficult task. We actually apply this great faith every single day. When we fall down on our knees before our merciful Lord, we confess our sins and we recall each day his promises of mercy and forgiveness. And each time we stand up again, we stand up as forgiven children of God. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus. Amen.